bring your Bibles.
And I do invite you to bring your paper Bibles to turn there. Although you can swipe to your Bible if that's where you're at. Turn your Bible in John chapter 11, beginning in verse 38. Now we are in the midst of a chapter in John that we are now will have spent 4 weeks looking at, because it is a rather rich passage. We began with Jesus being told about Lazarus's illness, that he was going to die. Jesus waiting, even, for Lazarus to die, and yet saying that it would not ultimately lead to death, but to God's glory. Martha coming out, speaking with Jesus. Jesus encouraging her to believe that he is the resurrection and life. Mary coming out. Jesus' anger and sadness over the devastation of sin and death. We've seen it all, and now we're coming to the climactic moment in the entire chapter. Jesus raises Lazarus. In fact, we're coming to the end of a great section in the Gospel of John. You can divide the Gospel of John into two great sections, the Book of Signs, some call it, and the Book of Glory, in the second half. And we have our seven signs in the Book of Signs. It began with that wedding in Cana, the stone jars. No more wine at the wedding. Jesus turns water into wine, gallons upon gallons of wine for this wedding. Here in the seventh sign, we hear of stones. We hear of impossible things that seem impossible, and Jesus making things possible. Let's now hear the Word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit. John chapter 11, beginning in verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" When he had said these things, the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, when we come to church, it's appropriate that we don't simply melt to the floor or yell or scream out in the pain that we might be in. Certainly not everyone coming to church on Sunday is in the midst of a trial or difficulty or in pain, in great pain. But there are often, more often than not, there are more people amongst us that are suffering than we realize. They're crying out to you, O Lord. And it seems impossible that anything could be done. There are people around us that we care about, that we want to know you, that we want them to be delivered from sin, from the misery that sin has brought with it into life. And it just seems impossible that they will ever respond. We cry out to you, Lord. And yet, right now, God, we cry out to you because what we need, maybe more than we realize, is the wisdom, the unfathomable wisdom that is in your word, to take root in our lives, that by your Spirit we would live it out, glorify your name, and be a blessing to those around us. Please do this in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin in verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. We remember Jesus had been deeply moved. And this word is that word for anger. Jesus is angry again as he's coming to the tomb, angry about the devastation of death, the devastation that sin has brought into this world. As he comes to the tomb, he gets angry again. And it was a cave and a stone lay against it. Maybe that seems like an unnecessary addition to this story, but it's not. It's actually very important. Now, this is how people were buried in first century Palestine. You go into maybe a cave area, a rock face, and people would have cut into the rock little channels, 2 feet by 2 feet, 6 feet long, and when people would be buried, they'd be slid into that channel. And then you'd leave and you'd roll this large disc that has a groove so you can roll it over the hole where that person's body has been laid. The body would have been wrapped with linen. In Lazarus's case, it was probably his sisters who at least wrapped his face. And they would have stuffed this linen with all kinds of spices and such so that it wouldn't smell too bad, at least for the first couple days. And they'd roll the stone against it. The stone, of course, is protecting it from grave robbers, from wild animals and such. The body would be allowed to be in that channel for about a year so that the body would fully decompose. I know, this is kind of gross, right? It's here in the Bible, though, and it is actually important to get this, to get the story, that the body would decompose, right? Then they would go in, they would take the bones out, they put it in what was known as an ossuary or a bone box, and there would be a little ledge within this cave where they'd take the bone box of their loved one and put that bone box up there, and then the channel would be used again. So that's where Jesus is heading. He's heading to this cave where this stone is laying against it. When Jesus gets there, he says something quite surprising. Take away the stone. It'd be sort of like you guys, we all go to, maybe a couple of us go to a graveyard where your loved one has been buried. And when we get there, you expect maybe Pastor Tim to say a prayer. Your loved one has been underground now for maybe a couple of years. 6 feet of dirt between the coffin and the top. And when we get there, instead of saying a prayer, I say, everybody, get out your shovels. Let's dig it up. You'd be like, That's strange, right? That's very strange. This is not what you do. This is not what you did back then. You don't go up to the stone that's over the grave, person's been dead 4 days, and you say, take away the stone. What is he doing? What is Jesus doing? Have you ever had that question in your life? What is Jesus doing? Anyway, take away the stone. Now here's the thing. The word take away also seems just like a common word. And it is a common enough word, but not in John's gospel. The word take away in John's gospel is actually playing a very important role throughout the book. This word take away is used in places where we learn about redemption. You know what redemption is? Redemption is sort of like being when the Israelites were slaves, working 7 days a week. The Pharaoh, the government leader, is committing genocide against them, trying to kill all the male babies. Okay, life is terrible. Redemption is God sending in Moses, taking the people out from that bad situation and bringing them into the promised land in the presence of God. Taking you from something bad and bringing you something good. When Jesus says take away, it's a clue to us that what he's about in this is redemption. Let me give you a couple of other examples where the word is used. The word is used in chapter 1, verse 29. When John the Baptist points at Jesus and says, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus takes away the sin of the world as the Lamb being substituted on our behalf, dying in our place, so that we can now have the good thing, that is, fellowship and communion with God. It's used again in chapter 2, as Jesus goes to a temple, and people are selling pigeons and cows, and they have their cash registers out on the tables, and Jesus flips over the tables, he's made a whip, he's whipping the cows out of there, and he says, "Take these things away." Again, take away. Why? Because he wants to take away this marketplace that the temple has become, so that the temple could become what it was meant to be, a house of prayer for all nations. Again, Jesus about the work of redemption. Take it up. Take it away. In chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus has just healed a paralytic, a man who could not move except to pull himself along on the ground. And Jesus says to him, what? "Take up your bed and walk." Take it up. This is the language of redemption. And when Jesus says, "Take away the stone," we, as the readers of John's Gospel, know he is about to do a work of redemption. But Martha doesn't know that. You know, Martha hasn't been reading the Gospel of John. It hasn't been written yet. She just hears Jesus say, "Do this strange thing." And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord," you know, Martha's being very respectful here, right? It's like if I were with you at the gravesite, and I was like, "All right, everybody, get out your shovels. Let's dig them up." And, you know, you want to be like, "What's wrong with you?" Right? But instead you're like, "Pastor," right? "I don't think this is wise." Martha's like, "Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. There's going to be an odor." Now, the Bible is really inviting us to enter into this with all of our senses, right? Can you smell it? The chicken that was in the trash a little too long? The eggs that went bad? A body that's been decomposing for 4 days? Okay? Martha's saying, "Look, Jesus, if you move this stone away, we are going to be hit with this absolutely horrid smell, and that seems anything but appropriate when we're trying to mourn the death of my brother." Martha's expectation here is that nothing good is going to come if you move this stone. Nothing good is going to come if you open this door. It is pointless. It is senseless. Why do it? But Jesus looks at his disciple and he says to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" Opening this door is not going to be what you think it's going to be. He's reminding her of a conversation they had, where he said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, shall live. And he who lives and believes in me shall never die." "Do you believe this, Martha?" And she said, "Yes." And now he's calling her to faith. You see, this is not just some strange thing Jesus is doing. Jesus is also not just about raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus is focused in on Martha and Martha's growth as a disciple. He's calling her to take up the stone is a call to become more like the person Martha was always meant to be. It is to become like the God in whose image she was made. take away the stone, Martha. Listen to the voice of God. Trust the voice of God. Do what the living God says. It'll be more than you ever could have imagined. You know, the Gospel of John, we know why it was written. Chapter 20, verse 31, we're told, these things have been written so that you might believe, and that by believing you might have life. This Gospel is written so that people might believe that Jesus indeed is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This Gospel is even written so that people who do believe might learn how to go out and then call other people to believe. In other words, it is a manual for evangelism. My friends, this passage is a passage about evangelism. What is take away the stone? It is a call to open the door for those whom we know to believe the gospel. But so often, when we're told to do the work of evangelism, and we look out at our friends and family, what do we think? We think evangelism won't work. What is the point of rolling away the stone? What is the point of opening up the door? This person is not going to come to faith. In fact, I don't think anything is going to come out of that door if I share, if I open that door, other than an odor. I don't think that sharing this message with this person is going to have any positive effect whatsoever. Evangelism won't work. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been in a place where you think evangelism is just not going to work, and so why try? Why open that door? There's simply going to be an unpleasant situation that follows. But Jesus says, if you open the door, you will see the glory of God. What we have to learn from this passage is to stop telling ourselves that evangelism won't work. And what we have to see is that evangelism is effectively or fundamentally this. It's opening the door so that Jesus can give new life. You see, when we say evangelism won't work, what are we really saying underneath that? We're saying one of two things. We're either saying, I think that evangelism is about me being able to persuade people to believe the gospel in my own power. And that's wrong, because there's nobody that you could ever persuade to believe in Christ in your own power. Why is that? Because nobody can believe God. Nobody can believe the gospel. Why? Because Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 2, we were dead in our sins and trespasses. We are unresponsive to God. Our friends and neighbors, whether they've got tattoos all over their body, or whether they've got the finest Armani suit and are CEO of the best corporation, whether they are completely knowledgeable of the fact that they are terrible people, or they are people who think that they have never sinned in their life, absolutely nobody is able to believe the gospel, because everybody is dead in their sins and trespasses. And so there's a sense in which evangelism, in terms of my sharing it, it will never work. But if we think it won't work because it has everything to do with my ability to persuade somebody to believe, or if we think it won't work because we think it has something to do with this person's ability to believe, we're all wrong. Evangelism will work, because evangelism is not about my abilities or about the person with whom I'm sharing abilities to believe. Evangelism is about Christ's ability to give new life. And we have to have that perspective on it. Evangelism is simply about opening the door so that Christ might give new life. And even if he doesn't give that new life like he does in the moment with Lazarus, one thing we can know, evangelism is also about more than just that person believing. Jesus is calling Martha to take the stone and open the door, to move the stone. He wants her to take action. Evangelism is about us cooperating with God, cooperating with Jesus. And in the process, becoming the kinds of people that God created us to be. It is about our growth as disciples as much as it is about other people coming to believe the gospel. But Martha does listen. And they take away the stone. Martha, participating in the redemption of her own brother, takes away the stone, and Jesus takes up his eyes. And that is the same verb, to take up. He takes up his eyes. And this is pointing to the reason why. The reason why evangelism will work. It is not because Martha took away the stone. The reason why it will work is because Jesus took up his eyes. The reason it will work is because the Father sent the Son, and the Father is faithful to the Son, and the Son is faithful to the Father in this relationship in which the Father has sent the Son, because he is faithful to bring redemption to this world. And because the Son is faithful in all things on our behalf, he can bring redemption to Lazarus. He can bring redemption to you. He can bring redemption to that person that you think will never believe. Because Jesus lifted up his eyes, Lazarus can be lifted from the grave. Because Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross, Lazarus can be lifted up from the grave. Because Jesus Christ has been lifted up from the grave and lifted up to the right hand of God, your neighbor, your coworker, your friend who you think will never believe, if you will but open the door, you will see the glory of God. When Jesus was done praying, he cried out with a loud voice. Now the verb cried out means cried out. It means so loud, it's real loud. I mean, it's the verb carried it all, but John added with a loud voice. So that's why I yelled it. Because that's how it was. If you were smelling this story a minute ago, John wants you to hear the story now, right? Lazarus, come out! Could you imagine being there? Lazarus came out. When you move the stone, when you open the door, when you share that you are a Christian, when you develop a relationship with a friend, and you, in silent, kind, gentle words, share about their need and God's provision in Christ in your gentle, kind, friendly voice, when it is God's will to call his sheep, Jesus Christ yells, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus will come out. There is absolutely no chance for anything else to happen, because when Jesus Christ calls his sheep, they hear his voice and they follow him. My friends, who are you the voice of Christ for? I do not want you to leave today without thinking of a friend at school, without thinking of a coworker, without thinking of a neighbor, that you are at least trying to develop a relationship with, where you can eventually share this good news of eternal life because you love them. I do not want you to leave today thinking that evangelism will not work, because I want you to leave today looking to the Christ who has been lifted up for you so that he can lift up your friend. Move the stone, open the door. You will see the glory of God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray that you take my words, as flawed and full of foolishness as they may be, but insofar as they bring your word to your people, to your sheep, who you love deeply, whom you bled and died for, and whom you have been raised for, and who you live for, and who you pray for, make your word effective in our life, O God. Build us up and use us in your work of redemption as you call the world to come out from the grave. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.